Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15. That's where we're going to be this morning. And I'll explain a little bit more as to why in just a moment. But if you're new or recent with us, make sure that you check out the seat back pocket in front of you. There's something there called a connection card. If you would, at some point in the service today, fill that out, take time to fill that out. What it does is it just gives us a chance to get to know you as you're getting to know us. And you can drop that in a couple different places. First of all, we receive our offering at Summit by way of these metal buckets. By the doors, we don't pass a plate, and so you can drop your connection card in there after the service, or through this window back there and through the door, there's a room called a welcome center. After the service, there will be somebody in there ready to meet you, get to know you, answer any questions that you may have. And so if you're curious about what God's doing at Summit, what service normally looks like, then you can hop in there after service and ask any of those questions and hopefully get those answers. So. But we're, again, so glad that you're here today. We're starting a series for the next 5 weeks today through our core values. So our core values at Summit Community Church are this: a passion for Jesus, a heart for the Word, a heart for the Scriptures, community, circles are better than rows, a heart for the lost, and then generations, right? As Jordan shared, right, that there would be a legacy of generations. That's actually how Summit got its name when we merged in 2018, that we merged for the sake of generations. Older people teaching younger people the way to live, apprenticing after one another for the sake of Christ. And so we're gonna take 1 week with each of those. And so today is a passion for Jesus. And Dylan didn't know this past week, but that song Abide that he chose to sing earlier that you may or may not know goes really well with John 15 and talking about a passion for Jesus. So let's read John 15 verses 1 through 11 together. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Again, Jesus talking, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do some things. Just making sure you're paying attention. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. And so again, today we're talking about a passion for Jesus. A passion for Jesus. Look at your neighbor and say, you got passion? Okay. So a couple things here before we dive into this. First of all, when we think about bearing fruit, and that's what Jesus is talking about, right? Jesus is preparing his disciples for his departure, right? Jesus knows, in fact, in John 14 is when he told him, you know the way to where I'm going. I'm about to leave you. And that's when Thomas jumped in. You know, we call him Doubting Thomas. That's when Thomas jumped in and said, Lord, we don't know the way to where you're going. Where are you going? And that's where Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so again, Jesus is preparing his disciples for his exit, right? For his exit, for the crucifixion, for the burial, for the resurrection. Jesus is not going to be with them much longer. And so he's giving them some final instructions. Abide in me and I in you. Right? And so that word abide is really important. What does it mean? Somebody raise your hand, class. Okay, somebody raise your hand. Tell me, what does it mean to abide? Yeah. to live in, right? Anybody got anything else? That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I love the word dwell, okay, which is live in, right? Okay, but I love the idea of dwelling, that I'm dwelling in what? The presence of Jesus, right? That's abiding. And so when Jesus says, abide in me and I in you, it's dwelling in the presence of Jesus, okay? And so can I illustrate this for you? Is that okay? Can I illustrate this for you this morning? Is that all right? Nick, can you come here for a second? Can you help me out? Yeah. All right, I just need you to stand right here, buddy, okay? Stand right here. Face everybody else. Face everybody else. Okay. Nick this morning is our rabbi. This is Jesus. Okay. Just for the sake. Is that okay? Can you be Jesus just for this illustration? Yeah. He's like, that's fine. Whatever. I just want to sit back down. I just want to sit back down. And so Nick is Jesus for me this morning, right? And I am doing my best. Right? How many of you know it's a struggle, it's a daily thing, right? But I'm doing my best to follow after Jesus. I'm doing my best to follow after the rabbi. Russ and I will often say that we want to live in the dust of the rabbi, right? So as Nick is kicking up dust, that I'm covered in the filth of the dust that he kicks up. That's how closely I want to be following Jesus, right? And so what Jesus is saying is, abide in me, stay close to me, dwell in me, live in my presence, right? But what happens, right, is as John Daniels stands up, right, as John Daniels stands up, see how he did that so well, so perfectly timed, right? And as Ryan stands up over on this side, right, as Ryan, look at that, that's incredible, right? As I'm trying to follow Jesus, what happens in life is that my eyes start to get on John over there. My eyes start to get on Ryan over there. And in the Old Testament, right, God says, ignore all of the sideshow distractions, right? And so John and Ryan, they're good things, right? They've got some good things. They're good people. You know, they like me. I like them. But the reality is, too much of those guys takes me away from the presence of Jesus. You see that? If I want to go over here, the closer I get to John over here in this sideshow distraction, or the closer I get to Ryan over here, right, takes me out of the presence of Jesus. Too much of those things, right? Everything's okay in moderation, right? But I was talking to the students this past week, right? There was a time in my life where basketball became my religion. The gym was my sanctuary. See that? Isn't that cool? I didn't make that connection until that moment. How you doing, Jesus? Okay. Good. I'm still with you, okay? All right. Right? Yeah. And so to others, a game, right? A game that some people can't even bear watching anymore, right? So many people have written off the NBA and all those different things, right? And so to some people, a game, it became my life. And it took me out of the presence of Jesus. Right? And so what Jesus is saying here is, listen, abide in me and I abide in you. And so as Nick walks and takes a couple steps forward, right, I'm staying right with Nick. Right? I'm not trying to run over here too far. I'm not trying to run over here too far, but I'm trying to stay in the presence of Jesus. All right, you guys can have a seat. Thank you so much, Jesus. You did great. Awesome. And so that's the point that Jesus is trying to get to, is that we would abide, that we would dwell in his presence. Because what he says is very clear. Apart from him, apart from the presence of Jesus, we can do, you remember? Nothing. Apart from him, we can do nothing. Now, the second observation that we've got to make before we dive into this passage anymore is this. The question is not, are you bearing fruit? The question is not, are you bearing fruit? The question is, what kind of fruit are you bearing? The question is, what's the smell of your fruit? Right? Is it still ripe? Is it still good? Or are you producing a fruit that no one should ever taste? Right? And so Jesus is saying, if you abide in me and I in you, he it is that bear much fruit, she it is that bears much fruit, and get this, so prove to be my disciples. Those that abide in him and he in them bear much fruit, and so prove to be his disciples. And what I'm saying this morning, family, really quickly is this, that's a passion for Jesus. Is that our passion for Jesus is that we would follow him, and that our only aim, our biggest aim as Christians, as followers of Jesus, is that we stay in the presence of God. That we stay in the presence of God. And here's the reality in 2024. Is that there are so many sideshow distractions that are competing for our attention. They're competing for our time. They're competing for our time, right? I recognize I disappointed some of you this morning. I made such a big deal last week about Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts and Aroma Joes and all of those things. And I walk in here this morning with a Dunkin' Donuts cup. I betrayed all of my Starbucks people. I'm sorry about that. But there's so many things that are competing for, you know, our morning coffee, right? There's so many things that are competing. You don't just make a morning coffee anymore. You're gonna have cold brew at home. You're gonna brew a pot at home. Are you gonna do this? Are you gonna go here? You're gonna go there. There's so many things competing for our time, for our attention, and ultimately, our worship. And so just a couple things here. When it comes to a passion for Jesus, right here from John chapter 15, when it comes to a passion for Jesus, number one, we've got to abide. We've got to abide. And the question here is, what does your time with Jesus look like? How much attention do you give Jesus in your everyday life? Are we concerned with, do we think about, am I dwelling in the presence of God in our daily lives? As we go to work, as we spend time with our families, as we do hobbies and spend time with friends and all of those things, is this producing in me fruit that would please the Father, or is this taking my eyes off of Jesus? Am I considering Jesus as I'm going? A lot of you are a couple of weeks away from starting school again, whether teachers or students, right? And as you're going to school, as you're preparing to do those things, right? What role does Jesus have? What role does dwelling in Christ in your school play when it comes to school? Be nice to people. Be nice to people. That's great. Yeah, that would be abiding in Jesus, right? Is to be nice to people. Out of the mouth of babes, y'all better listen to Jonathan. Right? Secondly, to live with a passion for Jesus, we need the Holy Spirit. Jesus, I mentioned earlier, Jesus is making plans. He's preparing the disciples for his exit. And he says in John chapter 14, don't worry, I'm going to send you a helper. Now, this is the first time Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit, John 14. It's the first time Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit. And he says helper, and the Greek word there for helper is called paraclete. Okay, paraclete, that's the Greek word that we have for the Holy Spirit. And I've always thought of it like this. I played soccer on Tuesday. It wasn't pretty. I say I played soccer. I was on the field. I'm not sure I played. I kicked more field goals than I did anyway. And they kept going over. I was playing the wrong football. Anyway. Some of the more serious soccer players, they brought their cleats for the soccer game. We always play a staff versus group 3 soccer game. And I believe we've been doing this for what, 8-9 years? And I believe staff has won for 8 or 9 years. I don't think we've ever lost. thanks to Nick. But anyway, and so contrary to popular, some of the students were like, yeah, the students won 8-7. That is a lie. That is a lie, right? But anyway, some of the staff, some of the students, they bring soccer cleats just for this hour in the week of this soccer game. Other kids play barefoot. You can tell the difference. You can tell the difference. One is sliding, one has great traction. And I've always thought of Holy Spirit, Helper, Paraclete as a pair of cleats. Because what does a pair of cleats do in a soccer match, in a soccer game, right? It helps you get traction. It helps you in the slick grass stop faster, not slide, not break an ankle, right? They help with soccer. They give you more balance out there on the field, whereas tennis shoes or socks, you're sliding, you're slipping everywhere. And so every time I think of the word helper for the Holy Spirit, I think of how God designed, right, the Greek to say paraclete and remind me that, yes, the Holy Spirit is like a pair of cleats in a game. They help me. In the same way, the Holy Spirit helps me in everyday life. And if I'm going to live with a passion for Jesus, if I'm going to live for Jesus and have passion in doing so, I need help. I need help fighting off the distractions, right? How many of you know in a group like this, right? You cannot please everyone. You pray when you can't please everyone. Do you want to come preach, bro? I mean, you can come sit right here if you want to, Jonathan. You're doing a great job, right? And so I need the Holy Spirit. I need the confidence of the Holy Spirit, the helper in me in living with a passion for Jesus. I need it. Because as Jesus said, apart from Him, we can do nothing. And so we need the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. And one of the things I'm reminded of, and I said to the students multiple times this past week, I got to speak to the high schoolers, the rising freshmen through graduating seniors. And it always strikes me because I want them to know, right? The same Spirit, so I'm telling you this morning, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. If we are following Jesus, if we are living, doing our best to live with a passion for Jesus, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And so go minister. Go love. Go abide. As Jonathan just said, go pray. We need the Holy Spirit. Number three, we need joy. And not only do we need joy, but we need to choose joy. Right? There are always circumstances and situations that if we look around, if we look hard enough, can get us down. They can take our joy. Right? But look at John 15, verse 11 again. It says, "These things I've spoken to you." This is Jesus talking again. "These things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." That my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Right? Now, that doesn't mean that you have to go around, you know, all excited and happy about your current circumstances. But that means you accept them as God's will and way for your life. That I embrace wherever God has me right now. And I choose joy. I choose joy. Sure, there's a lot I could complain about. There's a lot that I could whine about. There's a lot that I could be upset about. But instead, I'm going to choose joy. I'm going to choose joy. Jesus says that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. And then lastly, and we actually see this a couple of chapters later, but Jesus is addressing his disciples as a group. Right? Abide in me and I in you. Right? Abide in me and I in you, all of these different things, that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be full. But I want to point your attention to John 17, verses 20 through 23. And we talk about this often. This is Jesus' high priestly prayer. And Jesus is praying to his Father. And he says in 22 and 23 of John 17, he says, "The glory that you have given me, I have given them." So Jesus again talking, "The glory, God, that you have given me, the glory, Father, that you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." Verse 23, "I in them and you in me." Again, talking about dwelling, talking about abiding, talking about living in. "I in them, Jesus in us, and you, Father, in me," Jesus, "that they may become," get this word, "perfectly one." Perfectly one. "So that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you've loved me." Here's the truth of the matter. In order to live with a passion for Jesus, we've got to do it together. We've got to do it together. We've got to do it together. You know, I think when it comes to camps, right, when it comes to weeks of camp, I think one of the reasons that they're so effective is because you're together, right? Same thing with a mission trip, right? Same thing with a family vacation, right? What's special about a family vacation? You're together. There's nothing, there's not practices, there's not meetings that you have to attend. You are separate from the norm, right? And so you're together. You're eating meals together that you may not have, right? You may not have done that for a while, right? You're sitting together, right? And typically, when you go to a camp or a situation like this, or you're on a trip or something like that, what do you put away? You put the phone away. You put the distraction away. You put the things that compete for your attention and time, and all of a sudden you pull the board games out. Or if you're a puzzle family, right, you pull a puzzle out, you dump it on the table, right, and you start putting it together. And all of a sudden, it's the togetherness that does what? Makes the memories. It's the togetherness that's the difference, right? It's the togetherness that makes the difference. It's stopping from the norm, and it's doing something different, but it's not just doing something different, it's doing it together. It's doing it together. Jesus, on his way to the cross, he prays for all of those who would believe. And so if you're sitting here this morning and you trust in Jesus, he was praying for you here. That they may be one, and not just that they may be one, but that they may be perfectly one. That they may be perfectly one. And so one of the things that I've come to realize as a pastor, as a person, as a dad, as a husband, as a friend, you know, any of those things, is that if I'm going to live with a passion for Jesus, I need the right people around me pointing me back to him. I need you. I need you on the bad days to remind me of God's track record and his goodness in my life. I need you on days when I'm frustrated and the circumstances don't make sense or add up to remind me that if it's not good, he's not done. I need you. And the reality is, you need the person next to you. Look at the person next to you and say, "I need you. Even when I don't feel like it, I need you. Even when you drive me crazy," you can stop saying this to the person next to you. I don't want to cause marital conflict, familial conflict, I don't want to cause conflict this morning, right? But even when that person next to you, that person across the room, they drive you crazy, it doesn't make sense what they're doing, they were out of line in something that they said to you, so on and so forth. The reality is, the truth of it is, we need each other. Because we've got to be one. If I'm going to live with a passion for Jesus, I need people in my life that remind me to follow after him. Travis, you're over here with John, and y'all are doing this good thing, and it makes a lot of sense, and it looks great, and it's even going to help some people. But where are you at with Jesus? Where are you at with Jesus? Where are you at with Jesus? And so to live with a passion for Jesus, we've got to abide with him. We've got to be in his presence. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to make sense of things that don't make sense. We got to choose joy in situations where joy just feels far away. And we got to do it together. We get to do it together. And so this morning, as the worship team comes, my prayer for you is that when you would look at this list, what is the thing that I need more of? What is the thing that I need more of? I want you to look at the list. Again, the worship team's coming. You put your Bibles down, all that. We're going to pray in just a moment. We're going to stand and sing one more song. But when you look at this list, what is the thing that I need more of? Do I need more of the presence of Jesus? Jonathan's like, I need more God. Awesome. Do you need more of the presence of Jesus? Do you need more of the power of the Holy Spirit, the strength to live outside of yourself? More help, more traction as you think about pair of cleats. Maybe some of you today would sit and say, you know what? I got to choose joy. I got to choose joy. Sure, I mean, there's plenty of things around me that get me down, but you know what? God's still been faithful. God's still been faithful. And when I think about his track record at the end of the day, there's a lot I can be joyful for. And so maybe you're sitting here this morning and say, I just need to choose joy. Or lastly, maybe you need to stop doing it on your own. Maybe you need to stop doing it on your own. Maybe you need to realize that you weren't made to do it alone. And that there's been people around you all the time, but you've wanted to be the hero. Right? You wanted to be the hero. You've wanted to be the person that you've got this, you can do all of this, you can hold it all together, you can make it all happen. You. Let me ask you something. Where's Jesus in that? Where's the power of the Holy Spirit in that? And so maybe with number four, God would be speaking to some people this morning and say, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and realize that you need the people around you to help you, to push you to Jesus, to say the thing in the moment that you don't want to hear. So let's pray. And so as we're praying, as I'm praying this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed, I just want you to think, number one, time with Jesus, being in the presence of Jesus. Number two, the power of the Holy Spirit. Number three, choosing joy. Number four, embracing the people around me. And just whisper. You can do it out loud, you can do it silently. Just whisper to God. He'll hear you. One, two, three, four. What's God putting on your heart that you need more of him in this category? You might sit there and say, all of them. E, all of the above. God, today, I pray that you stir in our hearts in these areas. God, that we would be a people that is known above all else for having a passion for you, living with a passion for you. And God, we'll still get things wrong. We'll still choose poorly in some ways, but God, we want to pursue you with everything we've got. I pray for that heartbeat in this church, for every person in this room, for every person watching online, God, that we would choose to live our lives with a passion for you and your son Jesus, with the help of the Holy Spirit. And God, whatever might be standing in our way, whatever the sideshow distractions are that are grabbing at our attention, pulling at our attention, God, that we would remember that you've called us to dwell in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen.